This morning we want to draw your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 19. King Amaziah of Judah has sent a message to Joash, king of Israel, challenging him to bring his army and to face the forces of Judah in a war. Joash responds to this rash challenge by Amaziah. Verse 19 is part of his response. He said, "You have smitten the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Now stay at home, for why should you meddle to your own hurt, that you should fall, even you and Judah with you?" So we see that Joash tried to conciliate Amaziah, saying, "Hey, fellow, why don't you just stay home and savor the victory that you have? Why should you meddle around with things where you can just get hurt?" You see, Amaziah had just had a great victory over the Edomites. He was a young man. He was only 25 years old when he came to the throne of the kingdom. His father had been assassinated, and so he was young, taking over the throne. After he had established himself upon the throne, he had the men who assassinated his father executed. And then Edom was rebelling. So he gathered an army together, 300,000 men, to go down against the Edomites. He also hired 100,000 mercenaries out of Israel, who, when they joined his ranks, the prophet of God came out and said, "Why should you ask the ungodly for help? You ought to seek the Lord. Send them home, and God will deliver the Edomites into your hands." So he went out to these mercenaries that he had hired from Israel and sent them home, and they in turn were angry, and they tore up some of the cities of Judah on their way home. God did deliver the Edomites into the hands of Amaziah. He had a great victory. He came home from the battle flushed with victory. Cheers of the people. It is interesting to me that many times we are facing the greatest danger in our walk right after some of the greatest victories. Sometimes when we have just experienced the power of God in delivering the enemy into our hands, we feel, "Hey, I can conquer anything now." We almost go out looking for a battle with Satan. We start to pick a fight. "Where is he? You know, I'm ready to handle anything at this point. You know, boy, look what, you know, I did." And we fail to realize it was God who gave us the victory. And so here he is, right after a great victory, challenging now the king to a fight. It is true that there was a just cause. These mercenaries from Israel had done some damage to some of the cities of Judah. He was wanting revenge. He was wanting to get even, but that is always a dangerous desire and can often lead to real trouble. God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And when I try to get vengeance for myself, so often does it end in disaster. Now we find that he meddled, first of all, with the gods of the Edomites. Here's a strange thing. When he was in battle against the Edomites and had captured and destroyed them, they had brought their gods into battle, that is, the images of their gods. And so he brought these images of the gods of the Edomites back to Jerusalem, and he began to worship the gods of the Edomites. Now, God sent a prophet to him to warn him against the worshiping of these Edomite gods. And instead of listening to the prophet of God, to the voice of God through the prophet, he said to the prophet of God, "Either you shut up or you'll be smitten." And he commanded him not to speak in the name of the Lord. And thus he would not listen to the voice of God. And then he challenged the king of Israel to this battle. And the king of Israel responded in a conciliatory manner, just saying, "Look, I understand that you've been down to Edom and you've defeated the Edomites and you've had now a great victory. Why don't you just stay home and savor the joy of your victory? For why should you meddle to your own hurt and Judah be defeated?" But even as he would not listen to the voice of God, he would not listen to the voice of the king of Israel, but insisted that they face off in battle. And so Joash came with the army of Israel, and he met Amaziah with the army of Judah at the city of Beth Shemesh. And there the army of Judah was put to the worse. They began to flee from the army of Israel, who pursued them even back to the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem was captured by Joash, and he broke down the wall of the city of Jerusalem for a space of about 400 feet. He then took the treasures out of the temple and out of the king's house and carried them back to Israel. And he also took hostages of the people of Judah unto Israel. And so we see the tragic consequence of his meddling. His armies were defeated. His defenses were destroyed. His treasure was lost to the enemy, as well as hostages were taken into captivity. Sometimes when we get our eyes off of the Lord, we are tempted to meddle with the things of the world. We're tempted to meddle with sin. We are tempted to meddle with things that can only harm us, hurt us. They can't do us any good. And whenever we're tempted to meddle with sin, we should consider the question of King Joash: why should you meddle to your own hurt? There are those things that can only hurt you by indulging in them, and thus it is extreme folly to meddle with those things that can only hurt you. Some people seem to have some kind of a fascination with playing around with the things of sin. But it is sheer folly for you to meddle with things that can only bring hurt. Some people are meddling around with sex. Everyone has someone come into their life from the opposite sex with whom they have heightened sexual responses. They're attracted. There's an interest. They find that person sexually attractive to them. You have certain heightened responses to that individual. The question is, what are you going to do with these heightened responses? Here is where the rubber meets the road. As far as your value systems are concerned, do you draw your value systems from the Word of God or from the world? Because in this point, they are diametrically opposed. The world says Indulge yourself. Go for it. In fact, there are certain so-called experts who say that to repress your sexual desires can harm your psyche. And therefore, you should never repress those urges that you have, but you should just indulge yourself. Whereas the Word of God says, flee fornication and youthful lust that damn men's souls. So am I going to listen to the voice of the world? Or am I going to listen to the voice of God? It's decision time. Do I follow this path any further? Or do I stop right here and turn around? Decision time. But before you decide to follow that path any further, you should consider where that path can lead. You should sit down and write out the possible consequences of walking that path. For if you follow that path any further, you may bring shame unto the Lord who has redeemed you by his blood, and you might drag his name through the mud, as unfortunately has been done in recent weeks by some ministers, brought shame to the name of Jesus Christ. You could inflict untold hurt upon your spouse who loves you and trusts in you. You can bring untold damage upon your children. You can hurt seriously those beautiful daughters of yours. You can lose the respect of your sons. And you might just lose your wife and your children forever. You will bring shame to your family. And you can create a form of guilt that is hard to shake. Even though God may forgive you, you may find it extremely difficult to forgive yourself. It is possible that you could get a venereal disease, even AIDS. And you could possibly cause a pregnancy or become pregnant. And then have a constant reminder of your sin. So you that are married, when you come across that person with whom you have heightened sexual responses towards, you need to stop right there. Consider the consequences and don't meddle to your own hurt. Don't go any further. Turn from it. You that are single and have chosen to live the biblical standard of single celibacy, when you find yourself with heightened sexual responses towards one of the opposite sex, you should stop. Consider the consequences and not meddle to your own hurt. But there are some people that are foolhardy. They don't have the sense to look down the road to see the possible disastrous consequences of their actions. They live for the moment, the momentary excitement or pleasure, and they decide to go down this path a little further, and they enter into the fantasy land. where they begin to fantasize all kinds of exciting romantic experiences. They see themselves on the beaches of Hawaii in a private little cove under a full moon with the palm trees gently swaying. And all of these beautiful fantasies that they have of what could be. But it is dangerous to stay in fantasy land very long because it can destroy any possibility of a meaning satisfying relationship. Because you see, reality can never live up to your fantasies. And thus, reality always becomes disappointing if you've spent too much time in fantasy land. But fantasy land leads to touching. And touching leads to the bed. Solomon, as he is giving his advice to his sons, said, "Hearken unto the word of your father. For I beheld a young man going down the street, and I saw this girl waiting at a corner with an impudent face. And when he came to her corner, she grabbed him. And she began to entice him. She said, 'My bed is all prepared and it is perfumed and I have gone through my vows. Come and let's take our drink of love.' And so he said, 'I saw him as he foolishly was led away, but he doesn't know he's going to the gates of hell. That her bed is the pathway to hell. He doesn't consider the consequences of that action.'" You meddle to your own hurt, to your own destruction. Some have meddled around with drugs. They're introduced by a friend to the high and the euphoria that they can receive from taking a marijuana cigarette. They've been encouraged and cajoled many times into just trying it. And they find it a rather pleasurable experience. And though they intended only to try it once but leave it alone, they find that they experiment again and again until they're using on a regular basis. And then someone introduces them to the longer, more sustained high that they can get from coke. And soon they find themselves using coke. And then someone says, "Hey, if you want a real high, you need to try heroin." And soon they get strung out. And their life becomes hell because they dared to meddle to their own hurt. Why should you meddle to your own hurt? Why should you meddle with alcohol or with drugs or with sex or with these things that can only hurt you and bring disaster to your life? If you meddle, you will discover, as did Amaziah, that you will be defeated. You may think you're strong enough to handle it. You may think that you're in control. You may think that you can meddle without being affected. But you will discover, as did Amaziah, that meddling with sin always brings defeat into your life. And you're going to find yourself defeated by the enemy. You cannot take fire into your bosom and not be burned. But with Amaziah, you'll find that it's not just defeat. Once you begin to meddle, you'll find that a part of your defense system is destroyed. As Joash came to Jerusalem and tore down a portion of the wall, destroyed the defenses of the city, you'll find that a part of your defenses are destroyed the moment you begin to meddle. The first time that you took that drag on a marijuana cigarette, it was a battle. A real battle. You tried to retreat from it. You knew you shouldn't. You were being pressured. You finally gave in. And you thought, well, just this once, but never again. But in the meddling, a part of your defenses were destroyed. And the next time it was offered, you didn't have as much power to resist because part of your defenses were gone, and it was easier to surrender the second time. And then the third and the fourth, until finally you become a habitual user and you find no power to resist. In fact, you find yourself desiring when you don't have it. The first time you did it, you wrestled with yourself and with your conscience. It kept coming up and you were hurting inside. But now you do it and you don't even give it a second thought. Your defenses are destroyed. You don't even have any power to resist anymore. You're now a captive. And that's what happened. He took many of them captive, carried them as hostages back to Israel. And some of you have found yourself as a hostage. You're being held captive by the enemy. You're a captive to your own lust. You're a captive to the alcohol or to the drugs that have now taken control. And with Amaziah, you have lost a part of your treasure. As Joash carried away the treasure from the king's house and the treasure from the temple, so you have lost the treasure of innocency. Treasure of purity. You're no longer innocent. Your life is no longer pure. It's got a stain upon it. And perhaps that beautiful treasury of virginity has been lost. You lost part of your treasure. More than that, you've lost the treasure of freedom. Now you find yourself no longer free. Free to resist, but now you've become a captive and you can't resist. And now that thing that you have meddled with has taken a hold on your life. And it is holding you as a captive. No drug addict or alcoholic ever began with the intention of becoming addicted. They just meddled, but they meddled to their own hurt and to the hurt of those around them. Some of you today that are here are hurting. Back along the path, you began to meddle. You got deeper and deeper involved until your down the road far enough that it's got a hold upon your life and you're beginning to hurt. You see the damage that it has done. And you realize that you're the victim. But that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Setting free the captive. Bringing forgiveness and pardon to the guilty. Taking off that load. And freeing a man from the power of sin. When Isaiah wrote concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, he declared that he would bind up the brokenhearted. He would proclaim liberty to the captives. And he would open the prison to those that are bound. And some of you have been bound in a prison. Prison of sex. Prison of pornography. Prison of alcoholism or drugs. But Jesus Christ came to open the prison to those that are bound. And for you hurting people today, I've got good news. Jesus Christ can set you free. He can bring to you a new life. He can bring to you a restoration. Restore purity again. You can be pure. You can be clean. The Bible said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, you can be as white as wool. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." And that stain that is upon your life that results from your foolish meddling can be erased. If you will just come to Jesus Christ, for that's why he came, in order that he might bear your guilt, the shame of your sin, and give to you his righteousness, that you might stand before the Father innocent of all charges. It's yours for the asking. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from the stain of our follies, our mistakes, our foolish ways. Help us, O Lord, that we would not meddle with sin, but may we stop, consider the end of the matter, the consequences of our decisions, and may we choose your way, to follow after your commands. Lord, we thank you for the washing and the cleansing and the restoring work of your Holy Spirit within our lives as we come to Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins. And we seek his forgiveness. Bless those who are coming this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are here today and the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, you're hurting because somewhere along the line you were meddling, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Jesus Christ came to set at liberty those that are captive, to open the prison to those that are bound. He'll set you free today. He'll deliver you. You can go home with restored treasure. You can be a free man again. The treasury of freedom. You can be set free. Delivered from those entanglements and from the bondage that you've been drawn into. Jesus died for you. And I pray that you might experience his power this day. Prayer room is on your far right. The door over there in the corner goes behind the block wall. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. Make your way there and find his deliverance. May the Lord be with you and watch over you and keep you in his love. May you be filled with the Spirit of God, and may you walk in fellowship with him as we hear his voice and as we heed his voice for his sake, for our sake, for our family's sake.